We plant in righteousness, what are we going to reap? Why? The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Praise God. So we sow in righteousness. But we talked about Sunday morning, we was talking about the new creation, and I was leading up and heading up to something. Praise God. But how many knows when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you surrender to Him, you became a new being. You have never been before. You're new. You're brand new. You've never been before. And I was thinking about it. I thought, well, I've been, you know, in that new creation for 30 years, pretty much, you know, for 30 years. And it never grows old to me for me to know that I am not that old man. I'm not the one that was in that living room that day. And ever since that new birth, that new creation, as I have pursued the Lord, He has continually revealed Himself to me and still does today after 30 years. So, you know, you need to find out, you know, you need to know that you are a new creation. You were transferred out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of His dear Son, into a royal kingdom, into a powerful kingdom. Now you are a powerful being, although you might not even realize you are right now, but that's why you need to go to school. Church is like a class. That's just one, but you know, you've got so many ways right now to get good sermons, good preaching. I mean, you've got Keith Moore, Moore Life Ministries. You've got Jensen Franklin at your fingertip. You've got some of the pace. You can go and listen to Kenneth Hagin at any time you want to, praise God. Hallelujah. That wasn't available to me and Teresa when we got born again. But I think because that wasn't available, whatever areas that we determined to go after God in, we fed that new creation. And so you need to know, we found out Sunday morning, I'm maybe not going to go back through it, but we found out Sunday that I'm just going to highlight a few things. We found out Sunday that we're new creations. I don't care if you've been born again 50 years. You need that stirred up in you at all times where you can go to jail for taking up for those innocent babies. Where you will. We're not promised an easy life just because we get born again. Some of the things Teresa is ministering coming out of the Word of God, we stick with the Word of God. You know, we believe that we teach that we've been taught according to the Word of God and hand it to you so that you can go out there in those highways and byways and be bold. I'm very bold about what I believe. Not that I try to shove it down people's throat. Everybody can do what they want to do. You have that. They have that God-given right. As for me in this house, we after Him. We gonna serve Him. We gonna move forward. And I believe we're gonna have more adversity. Anytime God's agenda comes, you get involved in God's agenda, there will be warfare. There will be warfare of the flesh. There will be warfare of demonic spirits. There will be warfare of my will against His will. He'll lead you. He's killing you. Not in a bad way. I mean, look, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We are going to be like Him when He comes back to receive the church. He's coming back after those, and he's looking for Jesus in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know? And so we found out that we are new creations. And we found out that we have been, so that Jesus said He come so that we might be made the righteousness of God, the ones in right standing with God. So when you give your heart to Jesus, you are in right relationship right then with God through Jesus Christ. by the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in us. Now, we have to not complicate the grace of God. See, you can't change the grace of God. You can't earn the grace of God. You can't do enough to get the grace of God to work other than have faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that grace came through Jesus Christ. Well, he tells us all in Galatians over there, those that live by the law, they die by the law. Well, and it goes on and says, we're not under the law. We've been redeemed from that law, hallelujah. And we've been brought into relationship with Jesus Christ, hallelujah. But there's great benefits in walking with the Lord. See, there's people that could be in church, and I'm not talking about here. There's people that could be in school tonight, you know, taking that class tonight or Sunday morning, Sunday school. Hallelujah. God ain't set these things up for no reason. He sets it up to equip. To equip. Somebody say equip. I mean, I go on my jobs and I struggled in the beginning in my jobs. I started off with a ratchet. I put in wood lags with a ratchet. It took me all day to do two doors and two openers with a ratchet. And you know what? But I was determined that I'm not going to fail. Hallelujah. God's put me in this business, and if God be for me, see, you just don't use these scriptures when bad things. You use this to build up integrity and trust in God through the Word of God. Well, you know what? 30 years later, buddy, I can't think of nothing I need in my business. I got all the trucks I need. I got all the trailers I need. I've got all the scissor lifts I need. I got all the hijacks I need to lift doors. I've got everything. I got all the best tools. I believe God for it back yonder. There'll be a day, God, you said you daily load me up with benefits, and I would go to church regular. Somebody say regular. And he regularly was revealing things, little here, little there, little here, little there, speaking scriptures to me like Deuteronomy 8:18. It is he, God, that gives me power to obtain wealth that he might show me his salvation, establish his covenant with you. If you've been serving the Lord, I was thinking about Doris over there, Teresa's mama. I was thinking about all the way back to her husband's going to be with the Lord now. And he was a baby Christian. Somebody say baby. I'm talking about year, maybe. You're a baby. 8 years old, we're just getting out of panties. Come on, somebody. You just now learning how to get off pacifier, so to speak. 10 years, we're at deep, man. God is a big God. But I thought about him, and I remember him one time. I had vision. I mean, I'm gonna do this when I'd get him involved in it somewhat. You know, I didn't mean to. It'd stir him up. He wanted to. Everybody wants to prosper. I don't know nobody wants to stay down there in a ditch. Other than them's down there on the streets, and they're so far away from God, they believe they're better off under the bridge with nothing but a cardboard box. I'd leave there and I'd be like, not me, black God, I'm going up. I'm in the high places of God. See, that Bible told me that, and we'll get to some scripture here in a minute, that I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this life, but also that one which is to come. Hallelujah. And gave Jesus Christ to be the head over the church. Put all things under his feet, the Bible says. We ain't got no trouble. All we need is faith in God. And I've had people, but anyways, he'd going down the road and he said, I believe God's wanting me to get out of debt. And I said, well, do it fast you can. I can't. He said, I believe God wants me. He said, I believe God wants me to sell my place and buy this place down yonder. And, you know, and I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how, you know, that probably created trouble with ours. I don't know. I thought so. But you know what? Praise God. See, she didn't know that God was putting it on his heart to believe him to be debt-free. She might have knew what I'm saying. She didn't know what was going to happen in the near future. But God did. They were going to church. Somebody say, going to church. This world and religious people can try to convince me all day long that it's not important to go to the school of the Holy Spirit, but I will tell them, you're fooled. You are fooled. You're fooled by your flesh and your own desires and what you want, and you want a convenient Jesus. You want a convenient God. Well, you got the wrong one over there tonight. I'm telling you, we gonna see it. The times that are coming, the church is going to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit. We already in it. When the hardship comes and the battle, he gets heated up, praise God, whether it's right now on your job or you ain't got enough money. I mean, let God arise. Let God arise. I said, let God arise in your heart. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. It don't say looking unto this world. It don't say looking unto people that are confused. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. You see, we got to when we find out that we're new creations, I mean, that word is slung around out there sometimes, you know, to where it's not, you know, a reality to those that have given their, or a reality to those who are lost without God. You know, you can survive. People do it all the time. But I believe the majority of the world is given into darkness. Now, I'm not negating the church. There's many good churches. I know they are. But there's a lot of people on this planet. A bunch. And they're bent towards darkness, man. But the Bible tells us that it will, don't it? In Isaiah 60, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. He said, but arise and shine. And I'm telling you these things not to bring negative thinking to you and, oh, no, what about, oh, God, worry and all that. No, he says, it says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. He said, but arise. Rise up. Go in front of the clinic. I'm not telling y'all to do that. That's what that dude felt led to do. He's waging war against something that God loves. I mean, you know, for something that God loves. I did everything that I could think of to do, you know, when I was going on the streets and I made up my mind. I went to the police station, all that, to see if it was against the law. And then I come to this conclusion. I thought, I don't care if it's against the law or not. God told me to go on the streets and preach the gospel, praise God. And I'm going. And I went not knowing if I'd go to jail. But you know what? I thought if I go to jail, I didn't think, oh, my God, I'll lose my job. I mean, my kids ain't going to have no baseball and bat. No, I was thinking, I've got to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. And I thought if something like that ever happens, the grace of God will come into my wife and my family, and God will show up, and God will do what he needs to do because I'm faithfully following him. See, when you faithfully following the Lord, you have this knowing on the inside that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You don't, you've read it and you got that out of the Bible or somebody preached it, but it goes down into your heart and then you're like, if God's for me, well then who can be against me? If you don't feel like that, don't get discouraged. Just get your Bible and do a little fasting and a little praying and a little bit of doing good to others and a little bit of overcoming evil with good, a little bit of shutting that TV off, that's giving you all this God-forsaken information and filling you full of darkness. The weather's even discouraging. One day it's going to rain, next day it's going to shine. Then you're like, oh my God, I wish spring had hurried up and get here. Well, the other day I was sweating. I thought, oh my God, spring's here. It's nearly 80. Well, back yonder, I was like, oh, hurry for spring. Glory to God, I'm tired of my toes being cold. I'm tired of my hands freezing off. You know what I'm saying? See, we got to learn to be, and if we feed this new creation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, if we, he comes before ministry. You ain't got nothing for nobody if you ain't got him. If you ain't got him, you ain't got nothing. Not eternal. But you got him. Y'all don't get too quiet on me now. We're in him, right? We done found out we're new creations. We're in Christ Jesus, and we're on our way, right? We're on our way developing. We're on our way growing. We getting in the Word. We meditating on the Word, right? We thinking God's thoughts. We're training our mind to think God's thoughts. I'm confessing over myself right now because I got things I want changed in my life. I'm confessing over myself right now. I'm what you called me to be. God, I may not be fully perfected yet, but God, with your help, I'm coming out of this. I'm coming into some new thinking. I just found out Travis brought a scripture up to me, and I got it out today for myself. It's in Psalms 87. He was telling them what to do. He said, and they go from strength to strength. He had heard a sermon by Keith Moore on it, going from strength to strength. And I said, well, I hadn't really found that one yet. Well, I went home, got it. I said, but I'm going to go get it for me. I said, that's mine. I thought, if it's in the Bible, that's mine. Is it yours?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I was in training in Grosdoors, I didn't really like my trainer. You know who it was? My younger brother. My know-it-all brother. I hope he's listening now. He knows I love him. I'm just kidding with him. But you know what? It was hard for me to submit to my younger brother. But you know what? I knew that if I'm going to learn how to do these garage doors, I don't care who's teaching me, as long as you teach me how to do it. How many know that's what we got to do in this body? We do it. I got no problem submitting to Johnny. I told him out there he had to get over something. I don't know what it was. And he was directing everybody. Remember that? He was directing the cars and all that. And I'm out there jacking everything up. I'm just, I wasn't meaning to, but I'm just kind of a hands-on guy when I'm, you know, and all of that. But I'm going to the wrong cars. And Johnny's like, no, go that way. Go that car. Now, Johnny didn't think nothing about it, and I didn't think, who does he think he is? I'm the pastor here. How many knows that would be prideful? So I looked at Johnny and said, man, I'm sorry, man. I said, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to. He didn't think nothing about it, I don't guess. No, he didn't. But it ain't about him, it's about me, right? It's not about what people think. It's about between me and God and you and God, you know? And if we choose, Jesus said, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn how I am. Learn me. Why? Well, we're supposed to be like him. But you don't know how to be like him if you don't know how he is. So I had to go learn how he was. The Bible says right there clearly in that scripture, he said, I'm lowly. I'm meek at heart. I'm gentle. I'm not quick-tempered. He said, then you will find rest for your weary soul. And I thought to myself, praise God, I got to be like Jesus, man. I got to be this laid back, you know. And at one time, I mean, Teresa wanted to be like me. She told the Lord, I just want to be like Scotty. You can't get him upset. You can't. She told me that, you know. She said, there come a time, man, I thought nothing gets him upset, nothing. Well, you know what it was? It was that feeding that new creation. That's all it was. See, feeding that new creation with the Word and all of that stuff will cause you to be like Jesus. And it'll cause you to be delivered although you're in prison. It'll cause you to have faith of coming out when nobody can see a way out for you. He's a way maker. And if we going after him, feeding that, realize who you are. The Bible says you're a child of the Most High God. And if what I'm preaching to you tonight is boring, you ain't got it yet. Because let me tell you what faith does. Faith energizes. And so, I mean, I've knew about the new creation that we read about for 30 years. And I mean, I was excited to get it, and I got in there, and I'm like, oh, yes, I am a new creation, God. Glory to God. I wasn't thinking I just need a sermon to go to church. It's stirring that up in me because now I've got the God of the universe in me. Now I've got the one that rolled back the Red Sea living on the inside of me. I got the one that dried up the Jordan River, turned water into blood. I've got that God on my side now. I've come over away from his enemy. Now I'm headed to the Canaan land. And what Canaan land meant to that me then and me now means the same. It means that I'm going to victory. I'm going to have the promises of God. I'm going to be debt free. I'm going to have a good marriage. God said in there that he would bless those both small and great and our children. I can see that scripture right under with my eyes right now. I tell him all the time, there's nowhere you could work to make the money that God blesses you with. It ain't because he works for me, Johnny. I work for him for nothing. Dude, he's got his own part of a business over there that I could lay around the house. You know, when I'd be like, hey, buddy, I did it by myself. Go get you some help, you know, or blah, blah, blah. But you know what? After 10 years, I go on his jobs, and I don't charge him anything, and I work all day, and I sow it to the Lord. Y'all want to work for free? Just come on to the shop in the morning. Sign up for 10 years, and God will bless you. No, don't pattern after me, praise God. That's just something I choose to do. I just want to do it. You know why? It keeps me sharp. It keeps me on my game. It keeps me mentally sharp on conversations. I don't hardly forget words you speak to me or people speak to me because I've trained myself to listen to that and to God. I want to hear him more than I want anything. But realize who you are. Realize what we've been given. We've been given power and authority. Put that scripture up there. Let's do the Galatians 2:20 first, Beth. We're not going to go back over that Corinthians. Paul said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. I meditated on that back 28 years ago, and I thought I've been crucified with Jesus Christ, just like Paul. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, bless God, what was I doing? I was feeding that new creation. I was feeding that new man. I was getting it down on the inside of me, who I am, what I've been given, hallelujah. And I was crucified. Was you? The Bible says you was. If you're born again, if you ain't, you're still below the cross. You're not even went to the cross yet. You've not come into kingship yet. You've not come into that place of authority yet. That's why you can't. I told somebody the other day that was going through some things and said they wasn't spending time like they ought to, blah, blah, down them lines. And I said, I can tell you what happens to people like that. I said, you can't do this thing without Jesus. I can't be a pastor without him. I can't be a father without him. I can't be a husband without him. You can't do this Bible thing apart from Jesus. It says looking unto Jesus. Looking unto him. It says you are crucified. See, you need to get this. You need to get it down there, that one scripture. If you spend a whole week, 1 week with that one verse, and say Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and then say it. and then meditate on it. I mean, say it over and over until you can lay there at night and say, thank you, Lord. I've been crucified with Christ Jesus. I live, yet not I, Lord, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, Lord, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. By golly, I've been crucified. I was buried and raised when he was. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you was crucified. You went to the cross, you were buried, and now you've been seated. You've been raised up. See, the only reason you don't walk in it is because you've not come to knowledge of it, or you've come to knowledge of it, but you've not embraced it. You've got to embrace it so it comes a reality to you. I was crucified. That's why I can't quit the church. You don't know how many problems I have. Well, we don't know nothing about it. Why would I tell you? I just give you more grief. Poor old Scott. You'll be, oh, poor old Scott. Nah, I'm covering you. Pray God. God's got my back. And I got the shield of faith and I'm going forward. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move this church forward. We're going up into the higher places of God. We're going to take what God wants us to have. We've got ministries ahead of us that God is getting us ready and prepared for. Praise God. He got them ready all in the wilderness, and only Caleb and Joshua was trained in there to where they're up there. Hey, look at the giants too, and they're like, but God, they're in our houses. They're eating our grapes. Them's ours. God said they was ours. Black God, hallelujah. They go back down, all of them said, oh, they're giants. Caleb and Joshua, they had different spirits about them. They walked in faith the whole hard 40. Everybody in there went through this about the same thing, you know. But they had stayed, and that's the way men you are. Let God, let the lions rage. Let the bears come. Let Goliath come on. Hallelujah. Let him come on. Greater's he that's in us. He told that Goliath, praise God. He said, you come to me with a sword and a shield. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And today, I walked out of my house one time when I went to the grocery store with my wife, and I didn't really know, you know, that she's taking a calculator. I mean, I knew. I mean, you have it to... You know, we didn't have no money. And I went to the grocery store and she said, hold that. And I said, what? Calculator? Because I'm thinking, I didn't go grocery shopping with her, you know, she'd do it. The calculator. She said, yeah, we got to make sure. And you figure the taxes now every time you get something. And oh, man, that was the most miserable grocery shopping day of my Christian life. But God, I mean, I left out there and I felt like one of them Israelites, you know, out there facing Goliath. That's the way I felt. I felt slap defeated, Johnny. I really did. And I thought, man, I thought I had faith in God. Man, what's wrong with this picture here, you know? Well, I go on, you know, and I told Teresa, I said, not many days from now. I mean, it caused me to rise up on the inside. The only thing that's going to change it is that rise and let it rise up on the inside of you. Put it in you. Put it in yourself that you are the righteousness of God. Put it in you that God loves you. Get it in there. I mean, just say it over and over. Scripture says he loves you just like he loved Jesus. And so I got out of there and I went out in my yard and I started talking to the devil. I started telling him, I said, devil, I said, if you've got a calendar, you write it down. I said, you write it down. You mark my words, not many days from now. I said, she'll never have to use a calculator another day in her life, bless God. And I mean, I meant that, and I walked with my shoulders up, praise God, and I begin to just praise God in the daytime. See, you got to praise him. That's releasing your faith. That's releasing your trust. I begin to praise God, and you know what? I never had to use a calculator again. Of course, I didn't go to the grocery store every day with her. But anyhow, my point being, it wasn't too long after that, bless God, she ain't had to have a calculator in years. Do you still use one? You don't, do you? Well, I mean, I don't go to the grocery store every time, will you? No, because you're in more than enough. You're in more than enough. I mean, I'm having to control myself. I don't even like sweets, man. And I mean, every time I start to leave my land over there, I think, oh, man, stop by there. Teresa, she's got us eating right now somewhat. You know, she cooks greens, but I don't eat them. I got to get my confession right, my thinking, you know. But anyhow, I go by there, and I'm like, I mean, in the daytime, I'm like, I'm going to go in here and get a couple of candy bars, but God. So I go in there in the middle of the day and got two candy bars. I don't ever get candy bars. Do a son? I mean, I just don't buy candy bars. I bought two candy bars, and that's why I ate a candy bar for lunch, and I thought, that's a pretty good lunch. I had the other one. I left it in the service truck, and I thought, I can't take that home. I just cannot take that home. As I take them sweets home, a lot of times when we're trying to eat right, she says, that's of the devil. I'm thinking, not me, man. I wasn't listening to him. It was my flesh. It wasn't the devil. So I'm sitting there the other night, and usually I'm like eating lemons and, you know, pickles, and go get me a half a cup of pickle juice and, you know, drink some pickle juice or something, you know. And I'm sitting there, and that candy bar hollered at me. I thought, oh, man, I could see it laying there in that. And I said, I'll be back. I'm going to run to the service truck. I didn't tell her. I said, I got to run the service truck back. So I get on my gator, poof, take it off up there, man. I'm like, oh, yeah, there you are, baby. I'm glad Keith didn't get you and Travis didn't take it. Got back down there, and I opened it up, and I got half of it out. And I said, you want some? I don't think they ate that before. You know what? Throw me that. And I threw it over there, boy. Boy, we had us a payday right there in the middle of the night, a half a candy bar each. But you know what? I'll get in trouble with that now if I keep on. I know I can get addicted to them. I walk by today, and I'm like, ooh, M&M's look pretty good, pretty good. They don't never, M&M's don't appetite. They're not, you know, and I'm like, nope, resist that devil. Don't take it to your house. It's easier to say no in the grocery store than it is in the cabinet. Hallelujah. Well, see, this new creation, I know that longevity is going to have to do with me eating right, and, you know, and I need to eat the right things and all of that stuff, and not let my flesh get what it wants all the time. Hallelujah. I had the candy bar, and I had thoughts getting one, and I rebuke it right then. Nope. I used to love Baby Ruth, and Baby Ruth hollering at me. It ain't really saying nothing. You know, you think, boy, I could eat a Baby Ruth a foot long. Then you go down through there, it's talking to you. Well, how many knows fear and discouragement will talk to you? It'll try to talk you out of faith and look at the way things look. Yeah, our world is jacked up from the floor up. It really is. I've never seen it this evil in my lifetime. I've seen evil and seen, you know, spurts here and there and all that. We're worse than the foreign countries right now in some areas. But you know what? That's not going to stop the church. You cannot stop God's power in your life. They can beat you, leave you for dead, shipwrecked, thrown in prison, put in the fire. I mean, all kinds of evil things can happen, praise God, but you can't break that Jesus on the inside if he's there. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. Grow thereby. I told Teresa, you know, we talk about our life, you know, a lot of times, and the challenges that I had with loving my wife as Christ so loved the church. See, y'all think, unmarried folk, that don't relate to you? But you are obligated to teach this Bible. Married or not married. When that issue is brought up to you and you know the truth, then you're obligated to help them people come out of darkness. It's not about pushing Jesus down their throat. The Bible says If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why I know I'm not a woman. I just found out the other day, and I knew it all along, and there's racism is because there's different races, but there ain't in this Bible. There is one race. We all came from Adam and Eve. There is one race. And so they asked the Lord, he said, you asked me, well, how come they're different colors? He said, I don't know. That's a good answer, right? I don't know. But all I do know is the truth. We came from one man and one woman that God created. So there's only one race. So that leaves everybody equal. Right? I mean, God has to work on all the culture. All the culture to get them unified. And He is in His body. He broke down me being a Baptist and turned me into a believer. He made sure that I didn't become a Pentecostal or a Lutheran or Church of Christ. Come on, somebody. We're born again. We are the children of God. So there ain't no schism in the body between Baptist and Methodist. And I believe all that's man-made. I believe every bit of it's man-made. Guy told me, I said, why are there Baptist churches? He said, well, John was a Baptist. I said, that's not what the Bible says. I said, John baptized people. I said, John was not a Baptist. Are you serious? What Bible you got, man? I said, you believe that? Well, I mean, I'm Baptist. I said, well, stay one. I used to be, and then I became a Christian. See, I was a Baptist when I went to church for 6 months. Thought I was saved. But when I became a Christian, Baptist didn't mean nothing to me. I'm like, ooh, he's real. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all getting some free stuff. This is not even in my messages notes. Praise God. But what was happening, Johnny? That new creation was getting fed the truth. And when you know the truth, it makes you free. And it does separate me from some folk that are good, good, good folk that just can't tolerate me thinking that I've been crucified with Jesus. Well, that was the Apostle Paul. I said, every scripture is breathed out by God for exhortation, for teaching, for instruction, and for correction. That instruct me. Right? I've been crucified. The Bible says that me and you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. He said, what the Father's given me, He said, I've give you. Hallelujah. That's why me and you can't go around saying and believe in our heart, oh, I'm just sick all the time. My stomach, just all the time. I mean, you can't go around saying that and believe the Bible, which will get you some results. Hallelujah. You may have to be patient while the results comes, but this Bible, the Word, works. Paul said the Word is working mightily in me, praise God. You know, just heard this evening that they put some kind of law concerning taxes a couple of years ago, and now it's just taking place. And I stood up out of my mouth and I said, I don't fear government. I don't fear taxes. I don't dread taxes. Dread's fear. Come on, somebody. I don't dread it. Why? Because He said He would supply all of your... Now, I'll be glad when I get whatever age you get to where you don't have to file taxes. That's going to be wonderful. But until then, I'm going to believe God, and it's not going to get me in fear. I've seen people, you know, they get back big. I told Travis, when he get back big money, got kids at home, get back some tax, the old COVID just piled it on him. Oh, he's waiting every year. When I get that, this year, oh, yeah. And so I told him, I said, take advantage of the time you're being blessed. I've seen people get $15,000 back broke in a week and a half. And ain't got nothing to show for it but a big screen TV. I'm like, what? Needing to borrow $20. I'm like, how much did you get back, man? Oh, well, we had this and that. And I said, oh, okay. So I told Travis, I said, while you got this advantage, take advantage of it. So he did. He pays his stuff off. He saved some of it. Y'all were quiet. We're savers, right? We're good stewards. We're saving some money, right? Well, he can't afford it. Believe God. You can afford anything he says for you to do. He says, and I mean, he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to manage $5 a week if that's all you got. $1 a week. Start little. Don't be discouraged in small beginnings. We want to bring that down to ministry. But no, you start where you're at. And you believe God to increase you more and more. But don't start, you know, I heard somebody say one time, said, well, I could afford it. I can't afford the tithe. And the preacher said, he said, after you tithe, you can afford it. I can't afford the tithe. And the preacher said, after you tithe, you'll be able to afford it. That's backwards from our natural thinking. Well, I just believe you give what you want to. That's all you have to do. You do what you want to. The Bible says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of my... I'm going to do it. I sold those calves, and it was a good chunk of money. And I told Teresa, I said, take the tithe out of it. I said, take the tithe to the church. It's easy to give $20, but when it's $600 and something, a little different. So, some of you choke. $600, oh my God! But you know what, brother God? I don't have to give $45 no more. I don't just make $450 a week anymore. I started tithing at $450. I was giving $45. I'm thinking, man, I went from $1, God, to $45 a week. I thought that was big, Johnny. It was for me. Yeah, praise God. I don't know how much I tithed. 10, 20, 30,000, I don't know. I hadn't really asked Teresa this year. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I started off 40, 45, 450. And then I told God, I'm going to do it. What am I doing? I'm not preaching to you about tithing tonight. I'm telling you that new man on the inside of me wanted to do what the Bible says. Pray God, that wasn't here. That was in here. Wanted to do what the Bible says because the one on the inside of you and the Holy Spirit knows if you do, you'll go from 450 to ain't no telling what. Hallelujah. But you know, don't do it just to tithe. There's got to be honor towards the Lord's why you're doing it. You got to honor the Lord. It says honor. It don't say do it because you have to. He says that's honoring me. He says those that honor me, I will highly esteem. He pays attention to it. See, because you are in a supernatural kingdom now. Give me that other scripture, Beth, please. I think it's Ephesians, maybe one. I got just a few minutes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I'm believing that for every one of you in every area. She does it every day. She reads that and quotes it. I'll hear her in her quote, and I'll say, yeah, thank you, Lord, I got it. Praise it for all of us. It's going to happen. See, when you know the will of God, that's a prayer that Paul was praying. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may have given you the spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. This is a big statement. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. I mean, that power is working towards us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. That great power, that's the inheritance that we have as children of God. Number one, being born again is a miracle. I mean, it's majestic. Praise God. And over the last 30 years, I'm like, how could I not have faith in God, man? I mean, glory to God. I am totally 100% debt-free, and I'm not broke. I'm not weak. I feel weak at times, but I use the scripture over there where it says, let the weak say that he's strong. Now I got me one over there in Psalms 87 that it says that they went from strength to strength, and now that's mine. So I've got a powerhouse in 87 that I hadn't found yet. You would think I would have knew that, Mac. I'm 30 years in the Bible. That's why I need the Bible. I don't know everything in that Bible. But I mean, as I'm going on, praise God, serving the Lord, I mean, we're just going down the road and Travis brings it up. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I can't believe this. This is a miracle to me. That my boy's preaching to me now. Used to be me over there, and he's probably thinking, I wish he'd shut up. I wish he'd, I don't know if he did or not. Don't tell me. But now it's him. I mean, Tim, that shared one today. Jensen Franklin was talking about, looks like your marriage ain't going, blah, blah, give it another year. Just give it another year. God spoke to my spirit and said, give it another year. I thought, man, if you giving things another year, you ain't going to quit in a year. So God's got a whole year to work with it. He's going to do something, half the year will be gone. You'll be like, glory to God, what a marriage. Oh, baby, you want to go out and eat? Oh, I know we had a rough time. I know, but we come through. Have a little spout, and then 30 minutes, oh, I love you, baby. I love you, too. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, too, baby. That's the way it happens. I've been doing it for 30 years. 38 years. Don't intend on changing it. So all of y'all single folk, y'all men, you need to know how to be a man, even if you don't want a woman in that arena. Because young men are coming up behind you. And you don't have to have it. Look, they used to tell me, well, you know, you can identify with them because you've been on cocaine and you know, and you've been down this road, and you can identify with them. They can identify with you. I said, they identify with Jesus. I said, he never done no cocaine. I said, it's the anointing. I said, it ain't got nothing to do with I did this, and I can identify with them, and they can identify. Well, I'm not getting in there with all these emotions, you poor little thing. I'm getting in there with the answer, and it's Jesus. So I'm anointed for the married. I'm anointed for the unmarried. I'm anointed for the teenagers. I'm anointed for the babies. You're anointed for liars. You're anointed. You don't have to be married to preach about marriage. You find it in the Bible, and then you get hooked up in there, and then those young men, those young women, you go teach them what they're supposed to be doing when they become a wife. Right? See, we gotta have right thinking of this thing. We're new creations. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the anointing on us, praise God. I can preach in the prisons. I can preach in the hospital. I can preach in the nursing homes. I can preach to old folk. I went in there one service, praise God, and they had about 20 preachers in there, and I'm thinking, oh my God, man, we'll never get out of here. So that pastor, he stood up and he said, okay, I said, I'm going to tell y'all one time. He says, there's about 25 in here, so I figured out how long you got each one. He said, and if you go over 6 or 7 minutes, whatever, 5 minutes. He said, if you go over 5 minutes, I'm going to interrupt you and you're going to sit down. The house is packed, man. Mostly old folk and a bunch of preachers. So my brother punched me. He said, you can't shut up when you get started. I said, and I'd read the scripture, Johnny, in this Bible right here, that the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. That means I'm in control. And so I told him, I said, nah, I can do it. I said, I can go 5 minutes. No big deal. Well, all of them, you know, they stood up and told, you know, said everything. And I was the last one. And the Lord had given me one scripture and put it in my spirit. And so, my brother, you want to go? I said, nah, I'll go last, man. Because I read in the Bible that he saved the best to last. See what reading that Bible does? I mean, I didn't even know what it means. You know, he saved the best to last. And I thought, nah, I'll be last, man. Maybe that Bible means something there. So, got up, I stood up. He said, come on up, son. He said, you're going to preach. I thought, oh, my God, going to preach. The house was full of 80 and 90-year-old people. Half of them asleep. I got that microphone that got up there, praise God, and I started talking about Elijah outrun the chariots of, you know, and how Caleb and Joshua, 80, 90 years old, and Lord had given me this scripture, and I preached a little while on that, praise God. Every head perked up in there. The anointing came on the Word of God that was being preached. I'm not even old, man. I'm 28. And I realized the anointing is not bound to what I know. I realized the anointing is not bound to age or anything. I mean, Jesus didn't have a 30-year-old crowd. Praise God. I got done preaching, praise God, and I mean those old folk running around there, and that one lady come up there. She said, oh, Sonny. She said, you fired me up. I said, I didn't fire you up, ma'am. Jesus did. I said, that was Jesus rode in here. I said, that was him coming in on the wind of the Holy Spirit. I said, because God don't want you dead at 90. He wants you functioning for him. She said, oh, Sonny, I'm going out to witness. I'm going back to get on fire for God again. She said, and I'm not going to back up, praise God. And I left out there and I thought, good Lord Jesus, you used me and I don't know nothing to resurrect the dead in there. Well, I'm going to the nursing homes and these folks feel like this is it for me. This is just it for me. And I'm going down there and I'm like, praise God. They're like, oh, you sang. And I'm like, I'm not a singer, I'm a preacher. Y'all pray, y'all sing and I'll preach. I thought, don't sing 10 songs, please. Not 10. Boy, when I led them to the Lord and they're 80 years old. Never been born again. 80 years old. I went in there and the Lord said, I want you to preach on Jesus. I want you to preach him. I want you to preach on salvation. John 3:16 in there this morning. I thought, man, these are old people. Everybody in there is probably saved. Man, they done lived 80, 90 years. Well, when I got in there, praise God, and I began to preach that, I began to preach the love of God and Jesus, praise God, I gave an altar call and that woman rolled up her in a wheelchair. I said, what can I do for you, ma'am? She said, I've never been saved. I said, praise God, you ready to give your heart to Jesus? Now your life is just beginning. She gave her heart to Jesus in there. And then I went in there preaching to them the same Bible that I would preach to the 20-year-old. Why? Because that new creation on the inside of you is not bound to what it looks like, washed up, finished, you know, or what the doctors told somebody or the people have told somebody. This Bible calls you to raise the dead. The Bible says the Spirit of God will quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in us. I'm kind of a strange person to a lot of folk. Because they're alien to the Bible. If you're alien to the Bible, Christians will get on your nerves. They'll be like, they don't make a lick of sense. And they just think this and think kind of like Zach. I mean, he's been here 10 years. 10 years. I mean, he's heard this tithe and giving and steering wheel covers, and he's heard all that we've heard about it. And it didn't really hit him. Not that he was being rebellious. He's coming up. He's trying to find out life and all that. Then all of a sudden, God does it. God, he stayed under, kept hearing. I know, hear mom and them tithe. I'm sure. I mean, they're big on it. They're big on stuff. She's big on what's your confession. It matters what you say. Absolutely. The Bible says that we, having the same Spirit of Christ, that we therefore we believe, and therefore we. What do you believe? Oh, I'm in so much trouble, can't get out. Believing the wrong stuff. Bible don't say that. The Bible says all things, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. All things. There's nothing impossible. And I thought about this today. I thought, you know, how people say, well, God just, you know, I was thinking about how I've heard it. I've experienced it. Somebody will die young, die in a car wreck. Well, God had a purpose. God had a purpose. No, God's purpose was that they live long, satisfied lives. Getting a misconception of God. Kid dies in a fire. Car wreck. Somebody shoots them. Have a heart attack and die at 50. Well, God needed another little angel. You can't believe this kind of stuff. You got to find Scripture to back up what you're hearing. And if it ain't backed up by Scripture, then you cast it out. You just cast that thought out. You cast that out. Why? Because you're going to need faith for some time, for somebody somewhere, and you don't know the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, you don't have no faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So I know that it's God's purpose that you live long, satisfied lives. And people say, well, God's in control. No, God's not in control of everything. He even told the disciples, he said, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, God, whatever your will is, just let it be done. Right? He was telling the disciples, pray in this manner. Because I was rehearsing that scripture one time, just rehearsing it, and all of a sudden I realized that it says that Jesus told them, pray in this manner. And I thought, what does that mean, man? What does that mean? Then I didn't get no answer. Then later on I heard a minister that I like to listen to, and he was preaching on that. He said, you know, you don't just say them words. He said, that wasn't what he was saying to the disciples. And I thought, oh, that's what pray in this manner means. You know, down these lines, just pray, God, you know, pray the will of God. Don't pray just anything. God, if it be your will for me to stay married, Lord. God, if it be your will. And I mean, if y'all women, y'all have had a sour relationship and God wants somebody for you and you ain't going to change, he can't send that hunk. Or y'all guys set in your ways, you know, you just ain't going to change. You got that puppy and that puppy don't rule. Well, God can't send that woman to you because there's two lives then. There's got to be some humble and submitting to the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, y'all got a 5-course meal in 45 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I mean, I said in my mind, if something ever happens to Teresa, I don't want anybody else. It's not because I don't want some woman telling me what to do. Mine don't. And if she does, I don't listen if it's not right. And if I tell her what to do and it's not right, she ain't listening to me either. So it's not that, you know. It's just because that's just the way that I believe that I would live, you know, without somebody, which that ain't going to ever happen. We going out of here together. We're like Bunny and Clyde. They died together. So we're going to be called up to meet Jesus together. Hallelujah. Because I believe he'll come in my lifetime. I believe it. I believe he'll come, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Feed that new creation, then use it. When something rises up and you want to get discouraged, I mean, things happened to me. I was going to run some wood the other day, and I'll close with this. I'm building that Jesus Playhouse, is what she called it. So I went and run off my one buys, and I've let them dry 30 days and all that stuff, you know, air dry and all that. And then I broke out my planer, and I planed some, and I got the walls and up, and I've not got enough. I thought I did. I mean, I had a bunch in there. And so anyways, I thought, well, I'll go over there, and I'm going to go over there in just a few hours, and I'm going to run me some, you know, because I'm going to finish this thing, you know. Get it done where we can have a party over there, you know, praise God. Well, I got a lot to do between now and then. Now I need to get the grass because it's springtime. You need to get it now. Well, I got to get all that done so I can dig up the yard and put the septic tank in, all that stuff, you know, and have running water out there. Then get it all covered up. Y'all don't want to be coming over there slipping, sliding in mud. And so I get over there, praise God, and so I work about an hour over there, and the bearings went, no, I went to crank the tractor and starter quit on it. And I thought, great, I need something else to load these logs. But these logs are big, so I can't, you know. And then I thought, well, I'll finish running that log. Well, I started running that log I had on there, and then the two bearings went bad. All of a sudden, whoosh, now I'm down. So I'm like, oh, great. This is great. I felt discouraged, Johnny. I got in my truck. I separated my calves. Three quarters of them tore back in there. And I looked over there, and there was something else. Now, they're a bit back out mumming them. I ain't going nowhere. But I want them over there. And so I start home, you know, and praise God. So I get there, and Teresa, she knows it. And she said, well, just come over here and lay down. And I said, nah, I'm just going to sit over here. Fine, I was trying to help you, but if you don't want it, well, just go ahead. She said, I was trying to cheer you on. I said, well, okay, I appreciate it, you know. And so I sat there and I thought, this is what the body faces over nothing. Over nothing. And so I thought, encourage myself in the Lord. That's what, praise God. And then I started saying, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God, no weapons formed against me will prosper, God. And then I begin to draw. Then now you're feeding that new creation, and all of that left me. And I'm like, whoo, go out there and order your starter. Man, go fix that. I got them bearings back on there, got my starter ordered, praise the Lord. Got the sawmill back up, kicking all the weight on my starter. And then my building's just a matter of time. See, that's what that new creation does. It'll cause you to get up and go, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.